Did you know Nerd and Tie is running a convention? That's right, the Nerd and Tie Expo from September 23rd to 25th in 2016 in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. You can pre-register right now at expo.nerdandtie.com. It's amazing, it's splendiferous, and we promise it's going to be the best 3 days of your life. Or we'll time travel back in time and change your childhood and make it worse.
On this Fortnite's episode of Nerd and Tie, we finally have the full cast of new Mystery Science Theater 3000 reboot. Frank Miller wants to write Dark Knight 4. The Captain America Civil War trailer has finally been released. Supergirl has gotten a full season order. Kevin Bacon is going to make a new Tremors TV show. And, well, I went to DaishoCon, as did one of our other co-hosts. We're going to talk about all this and more on Nerd and Tie.
That's exciting.
To this Fortnite's episode of Nerd and Tie, the podcast on the internet with a festive dress code. I am one of your hosts this evening, Professor Fursters, and with me, as always, are the Holly Jolly Tradorn.
Hello, everybody.
And the special guest, the elf with the mostest, Santa's little helper, Gen Proc.
Yay! Hi. What's up?
Well, yeah.
Nick couldn't be here.
Nick's not here, unfortunately. He is also doing something very festive. He is in a production of A Christmas Carol. So Nick is off this week while they get ready for that. So we're all excited for him on that one. We're all actors here at Nerd and Tie.
Well, it's pretty cool. I used to
mostly.
We all do really cool stuff, and we're glad Nick's doing that, and we're excited to have him back as well. But boy, do we have a lot to talk about this Fortnite.
Yeah.
A lot went on. First of all, how are you two doing this week, this Fortnite?
In massive pain.
That's right. You've got the thing going on.
Yeah, right here. So for those of you who don't know, the reason why we were recording this on Tuesday instead of Sunday like normal is because, well, we would have just recorded late on Sunday because I got stuck in traffic, but over the weekend, a muscle in my face decided to spasm and seize up, which is super fun and still mildly painful. And I could not talk for long periods of time still on Sunday. So we
had to put it off and we moved it to Tuesday, and here we are. And we're excited to have you here and talking Trey again. We're excited to have you here standing in for Nick and, Happy December, everybody. We're moving towards the middle of that holiday season, and it's going to be all jolly and warm and fuzzy and givingly.
Speaking of, that's a word.
Speaking of givingly, all of us here at Nerd and Tie, guest hosts included, were extremely excited when Joel Hodgson, the creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000, launched a Kickstarter to bring back Mystery Science Theater 3000. And not only did he launch it, but it made its goal within, I think, days. Within 3 days, it had made its...
Within a week.
Within a week, it had made its initial goal. And as more goals have been met, he has brought on more cast members, has revealed cast members, including Jonah Ray, the new test subject of the Satellite of Love. We got the other bots voices as well. Comedians Baron Vaughn voicing Tom Servo and Hampton Yount voicing Crow T. Robot. Well, since the last time we recorded, we've got even bigger news. He has announced the new mad scientist and mad scientist assistant for the series. Felicia Day is going to be playing Kinga Forrester, Dr. Forrester's daughter, and comedian Patton Oswalt will be playing TV's son of TV's Frank.
I love that.
And what could easily be the greatest dual casting of all time.
It's pretty amazing. It is. Well, I know you're happy about, you know, Felicia Day.
I can only imagine how excited you were, Trey.
I nowhere near as excited about you because you texted me excitedly out of nowhere. I thought you had seen the article, but actually the article hadn't posted to our site yet. So I just felt the need to tell me.
I was about to hop into the gym and I saw the news and I got really excited and, No, this is really cool because not only did we get the castings, we've actually gotten in the last week we've gotten to see some of what we're going to see. We've gotten actually a picture of Patton Oswalt as
a Photoshop mock-up.
A Photoshop mock-up. But I really hope they do the hair twirl.
Yeah.
But of course, last Thursday was Thanksgiving, and that was the MST3K Turkey Day Marathon. But we got to see Jonah Ray and Baron Vaughn and Hampton Yount in the theater being talked to by Joel and getting to talk. And so we got to hear the voices.
Yeah. And, well, and it's them in the original Kickstarter video, too. It's just they hadn't revealed who was doing it yet.
Yep. And so we've gotten all this really great stuff. They've reached 4.4 million, so we're for sure getting.
They've reached 3.4 million.
They've reached 3.3. That's right. They reached the next goal, so we're at least getting six new episodes, potentially more if it gets picked up by network. And honestly, with this kind of star power, I don't see why it wouldn't get picked up by network. But the cast has been finalized. We've got Patton Oswalt, Felicia Day, Jonah Ray, Baron Vaughn, and Hampton Yount as the new cast. What do you two think about this?
Well, I think the interesting thing about Patton Oswalt's casting is that the reason why that he doesn't appear in anything other than a short video with just Patton Oswalt talking to his phone is that he wasn't approached until after the Kickstarter started running.
Yep.
He had been approached about possibly helping write an episode of the season, but not about appearing on camera. And apparently it had just occurred to Joel that he should ask. And Oswalt's going to be playing TV's son of TV's Frank.
It's going to be great. I love Patton Oswalt, and he's perfect for this casting.
Oh, yeah. Again, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I think it'll be pretty easy to transition over to enjoying the new cast. I know I'm going to be thrown off by the robot voices just because, like, you get so used just the sound and the timbre of, for example, Tom.
Yeah, well, Tom Servo, I think, is the big one because even though, I mean, Josh Weinstein was the original voice, but he hadn't voiced the character since he voiced him in the KTMA season and then the first Cable season. But it's been Kevin Murphy since season two. And after they changed that casting, they never reran season one. Like, if you actually go back and watch season one of MST3K, the Cable
season one, it
looks so different.
Oh, yeah.
The set is entirely different.
Even the interactions are really different. You can they're still trying to find their footing and whatnot, and the interactions are still very staged, and they don't feel natural.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Josh Weinstein was, I think, 18 at the time when they made those episodes. Like, he was 17 during the KTMA season, so he was very young. Now, it's the Crow, the Hampton Young's Crow, actually apparently can do a dead-on impersonation of Trace Bielow.
Yeah, he's modified it just a little bit so they can keep going with that running joke of, like, his voice is a little different.
Right.
I love when they did that in the original series, which is like, wait, Crow, do you have a different voice? What? Oh, yeah, probably. We've been floating in space for how long? I don't.
Yeah, it's and you know, the change from Trace to Bill Corbett, I adjusted to on Crow, and so it is going to be harder to get used to a new Tom Servo, but I will. It's
And you can tell he's kind of doing his best to keep that sort of lower voice kind of in that same range to not really jar. We're not getting suddenly a high-voiced Tom Servo.
Well, no, unlike, like, the first couple episodes of KTMA before he found his mighty voice.
Oh, my gosh, right?
So it's, if you ever go back and watch those old KTMA episodes, there's some really interesting stuff in the first couple, if you ever get a chance to see them.
I should see if they're, because MST3K recently, like, put up all their stuff on YouTube. Like, they have an official channel with all their episodes on it. Should see if the KTMAs are on there.
The KTMA episodes aren't up on that channel.
Okay.
Still, I know find them on
I will
YouTube,
say,
though.
I will say there are episodes on YouTube of dubious origin. The fact is that MST3K is a series where bootlegging was a major part of its history.
Oh, keep circulating the tapes.
Keep circulating.
I mean, they promoted it. Like, they encouraged it.
So there are, and if you ever go to mst3k.me, which is the random MST3K generator where it'll generate random episodes, you can select to generate a random KTMA episode. Mm-hmm. So,
and they're really interesting to watch. It's interesting to see what they were playing with at the beginning.
Yeah, I will say the show got better once they moved to the KTMA episodes are also really interesting because they're almost all straight improv'd.
Yep.
Like they didn't write scripts ahead of time.
There was no script writing at all.
To shop it around a cable network, so they created like a reel of just like their best moments, like a 20-minute reel, and they realized watching that's what the whole show needed to be, was just like the best of what they had done throughout their entire run at KTMA. So that's why they started the writer's room.
It's really interesting, too, to hear about the writer's room. If you ever get a chance to read up on it, do so. I actually got to hear Joel talk about it live at a showing of Manos in Minneapolis a few months ago, and it was a process, from my understanding. Like it was a 4-day process to write riffs of like 10 to 12-hour work days of just sitting there with a time marker and a notebook and writing down everybody's riffs and then having to go back and seeing which ones work. So this is going to be huge with the writers they're bringing on and the talent that they've got. And looking, I mean, like I said earlier, looking at what they've got with Patton Oswalt and Felicia Day and these three young, great comedians, I don't see how it doesn't get picked up for a full series.
Well, I'm gonna be I'm always a little bit more pessimistic, but I'm gonna say I'm very happy we're gonna get at least 6 episodes with this cast.
Yeah,
and I want more, and people should continue to give to the campaign because if they reach 5.5 million, we're gonna do a full 12 episodes. So, you know, keep giving to the campaign. I upped my donation, at one point already to pretty much what I could maximum afford.
Yep. I will be throwing in some this week as well,
but you know, it's tell your friends, keep circulating, you know, bring back MST3K.com. Mm-hmm.
Did you all watch the Turkey Day Marathon? Did you guys have a chance to tune in a little bit?
I watched parts of it.
I got to watch all of Danger Death Ray, which is one of my favorite episodes, only because of the seriousness of the movie characters saying Bart Fargo without laughing.
I watched. I had a bunch of people come over to my parents' house on Thanksgiving, so I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of it. But I watched parts of Iga, and before that, Outlaw of Gore. I watched some of. I was peeling potatoes and doing other stuff though. So. You know, because my wife and I helped did a lot of the work for Krista did most of the work. I peeled the potatoes for Thanksgiving at my parents' house. So
I was actually really surprised because, like, I went and saw the Outlaw of Gore episode and then just, like, I was going and looking for a new book to read later. And I'm like, holy crap, we have the book of Outlaw of Gore. That's so weird.
Those are really weird books. Don't read those books.
Oh, I'm not gonna.
You really want to, like,
we just have weird, like, random sci-fi.
Read about banging fantasy women.
Well, to be fair, that's what the movie was too.
Right. Yeah. It was the gore series. The GOR, so the gore series is a very
very male fantasy.
It starts out like a rip-off John Carter of Mars and then turns into like the porn parody of John Carter of Mars.
I'll stick to my Bradbury.
Excellent. So that's, of course, some of the big news is that Mystery Science Theater 3000 is coming back. It's got Felicia Day, it's got Patton Oswalt, and it's got at least 6 episodes.
And so that's just a joyous, joyous thing, because there are some things that are so good, we always want them to come back, and this is one of them. Unfortunately, there are also things out there that were once good that keep trying to come back, and Frank Miller's Dark Knight series is a very different one. Now, we all know the Dark Knight 3, the Master Race, is coming.
That's painful to even hear.
And when we all heard that title, we said, wow, that's the most Frank Miller thing we can think of. But we were wrong. You see, what it turns out is that people talking to Frank Miller is that Frank Miller's writing credit on that series is apparently, according to Frank Miller, kind of an in-name only thing. That the Dark Knight 3 is almost entirely written by Brian Azzarello. Which is weird because it's still called the Master Race. But
we had to appease Frank Miller somehow. Why not throw in a little bit of like Nazi imagery?
But so that's the first thing we have to wrap our heads around. The Dark Knight 3 was not Frank Miller's idea. Like, we always knew DC went to him that they wanted to bring the continue the franchise, but we had assumed that with a title like that, it was an origin with Frank. But no, which makes me worried about Brian Azzarello as a person. But Frank Miller has said that he apparently, after Dark Knight 3, he wants to go back and write Dark Knight 4 all on his own.
There's no way that can go wrong.
Here's hoping he dies of cancer first. Okay, so I'm in constant pain. I don't know what I'm saying. Like, my ability to have any taste right now is just out the window.
Blame the meds.
Trey Dorn does not speak for all of Nerd and Tie. The views that are said within this podcast are the views of those saying them and not a representation of anybody else to the left or the right of Trey Dorn. All rights reserved.
I'm in the middle, and that makes it right. No.
Well, you know, okay, so me being the optimist of the group, I mean, all right. Well, Master Race hasn't come out yet.
But Dark Knight 2 was terrible.
And it's not Frank Miller writing the third one, so the third one could be good enough for Frank Miller to like build
this,
on
this
that.
This does make me more optimistic about the third installment now that I know that Frank Miller just drew Superman's dick and probably came up with the title.
So let's say that the third one comes out and it's really good, okay? Maybe Frank Miller looks at that and says, I could write like that.
Frank Miller never says that. Frank Miller says, how can I add
Frank
more
Miller
whores?
Might have a change of heart.
Whores.
Oh, it's not going to be good. Not going to be great.
Oh, my God. This is just like, why? God damn it, Frank Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, first, like, this leaves so many questions, too. Like, again, Frank Miller, like, who came up with the title? Did Frank Miller actually contribute the title Master Race, or did DC say, what's the most Frank Miller thing we could come
that's
up
maybe,
with?
Hey, that could be, what could we come up with and pin on him?
Well, I mean, really, like, that title, like, is it just to be more on, like, as on brand as they can be? What the hell is going on?
We don't know.
Obviously, the folks at DC are running their comic books, their movies, and their TV series very differently from one another, because they're like looking at DC, you've got to wonder if like they've put their headquarters for each miles apart from each other and cut off all phone ties, because they are not anywhere near each other on the same page.
No,
like Marvel
not.
At least kind of has their stuff together when it comes to their universes. DC's are just on a completely different level from one another, and it's almost hilarious how bad that is. Oh man.
So yeah, it's now we're not going to spend 20 minutes talking about Superman's dong this episode. But Frank Miller did draw it once.
He did, and it was very large and prominent amongst a steamrolled Superman.
But, yeah, this is just... Why? Why?
Trey, let's move on to happy things. Well, happier things, shall we?
I was happy once.
Because, while the Master Race is coming out in 2016... you know what else is coming out in 2016? America: Civil War. And while we all thought for certain that we were probably going to see the Civil War trailer during the Star Wars The Force Awakens trailers, or the trailers leading up to Star Wars The Force Awakens, we got a surprise when about a week ago at 11:30 Central Time PM, they dropped the Captain America Civil War trailer on us.
Yeah, and was it Jimmy Kimmel?
I was on Jimmy Kimmel during an episode of Jimmy Kimmel, and oh my goodness, what on earth can we say about this trailer? What does it have? It's got Bucky. We get to see the Black Panther in his very cool uniform. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that looks great.
Captain America: Civil War, more like Captain America: Feels War. With he's my friend. I used to be too. Oh man, this is gonna be. This
movie
is going to tear people apart. This is going to, like, tear people's hearts in twain.
Yeah.
We don't need your civil war.
Sorry. Like, this is going to be...
impersonation had to come out. I'm wearing a bandana.
This is going to be a huge setup for Marvel's Phase 3, and I think this is good that they're leading into Phase 3 with this, if the trailer is any indication of what this phase is going to be like. It's going to be... I think the movies are going to get a little darker from here on out, to be honest.
No, really? You think?
I don't know.
Tony, really? Like, you're going to give me this bullshit thing after you built Ultron? You just built Ultron. This is all your fault, Tony.
Well, to be fair, here's the thing. Everything Tony Stark does is with good intentions. Like, okay, building the Ultron thing, it was so that they wouldn't have to rely on these super-powered superhumans to protect them. They'd have other ways to do it. So he builds this thing, and I went horribly wrong. Okay, so... I mean, like the registry thing that there's probably going to get brought up in. I mean, it's obviously different from the comic a little bit. We're not going to probably get the huge legal battle that was in the comic. It looks like it's going to be a lot more action oriented. But
no courtroom drama?
There might be some courtroom drama because Martin Freeman is in it and he's supposed to be cast as one of the lawyers.
Because, Batman versus Superman is also going to have all the courtroom drama that we need in 2016, right? I mean,
exactly.
If they don't do a Perry Mason reference, I will be disappointed.
So,
unfortunately, they will, but instead it'll be the Ozzy Osbourne song Perry Mason instead.
So, but then Tony Stark wanting. 90s. Tony Stark agreeing that, okay, maybe we should have a list of these people that have superpowers, which is really cool, actually, because Jessica Jones just got released, and that was kind of a cool coinciding thing with the trailer getting released with Jessica Jones, because there's a lot of that in a couple of the episodes of Jessica Jones.
Well, and the episode they released the trailer, Krysten Ritter was the guest immediately following them.
Yep. So, I mean...
How good is Jessica Jones?
Right? Like, not only is the storyline good, and people complain about the direction in some of the episodes, and I think it's just your standard Marvel direction because, they've not only got to do this story, but they've got to set other things up down the line.
I don't think there was anything to complain about in that. Like, I'm sorry, I watched that whole thing in a period of 4 days because I was working overtime at the day job, or else I would have watched it in two, and it was, I have no complaints about the direction, period. I think it was... perfect. Best thing Marvel's done.
And I agree. And not only that, but my heart actually kind of broke a little bit when David Tennant said in the doctor voice, "Oh, clever girl, clever, clever girl." And I'm like, no.
Well, I like to think that his performance as Kilgrave is what it would be like if David Tennant played the Master.
Yeah. Okay. I dig that. I dig that. But I think. It's a really cool setup for Phase 3 that we're going into with we know there's more of these heroes out there. They mention in Jessica Jones that she knows of 99 others in New York.
She's lying. She's making things up.
She definitely knows more though. There's more. Like there's obviously more.
She doesn't know a lot. It's everything she said to those people like was lies. She lies all the time about that stuff because she just wants people to go away. She's smart enough to know if you create a believable lie as the 99 thing was complete bunk. You bought that?
I not necessarily the 99 thing, but I believe she's aware that there are others like her out there.
She's aware of Luke Cage.
Very aware of Luke Cage. Right. But I think that it's really cool that we're getting that lead in to, all right, there's more people out here. And do we register them? Do we make it so that we know who's got powers and who doesn't? And I think that's what's going to be really cool about this movie leading into Phase 3.
Yeah, and they've been touching on that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. all the last couple seasons.
I find an interesting parallel to X-Men.
Well, yeah.
Where they went through the same deal.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Kind of.
The mutant registration. Yeah, it's this is. I mean, Civil War was really the Marvel universe finally being consistent in the comics. Like, what was it where we're going to persecute the mutants but not any of the other superheroes? Like, that was the
biggest.
That's always the biggest thing. Like, incongruous nature of the Marvel books is, and that's why I really have appreciated the fact that Fox has held onto the rights to the X-Men, because it means that the universes get to be a little consistent. In this universe, we persecute. In this universe, we don't. But it, like, at least that way, like, when they're going to this, it's a natural build instead of, like, you know, mm-hmm. like the ongoing conundrum of Marvel Comics of, we don't like the ones who were born with it, but put them in some Terrigen Mist and they're fine.
So, Dan, what did you think about have you seen the Civil War trailer yet?
Not yet. I'm a Not terrible yet. Person.
Get on it. It's good. I said, the thing that's kind of ruining everybody right now is the whole, he's my friend and
so was I.
So was I. That seems to be what's destroying people.
You know, I wouldn't do this if I had any other choice, Tony. But he's my friend.
So was I.
See, there we go. We just did it for you.
Okay.
If Nick was here, it would be more convincing, because usually I'm the stand-in for Thor, but he's not in this movie.
My favorite thing that I've seen out of that is somebody inserting it into that episode of The Simpsons. So Bart stops and says, "Look, Lisa, you can almost pinpoint the exact second that his heart rips in half."
Oh, man.
Oh, so... Captain America, Civil War, Captain America Feels War, Captain America, Everybody's Punching Each Other, comes out May 6, 2016, to kick off Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's exciting.
It's going to be good. I'll be there opening day.
Will you? And we'll do a special on that one.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, I think we need to do a special on that. I think we need to do a special on Bat v. Supes. Because maybe
now, when you say special,
treat it specially, and I think we need to do one for Star Wars.
Yeah, I agree with that very much. Yep. So,
folks, these are me just spitballing specials. We make no commitments to anything until we say, "Hey, we can record this thing."
Something that is getting more commitment, though.
Ooh, good segue. Nice.
Thing. Supergirl, the CBS show, has been reported that it is getting an additional 7 episodes to its first season. It's going to bring it up to a full 20 episodes, which is great, because it's good, and now we're just wondering... Shall I say when it will cross over? if it'll cross over.
Everyone's been asking.
Well, here's the thing. Like, there have been rumors about this. It was just this last week that there was a rumor that they've been talking about having a network crossover for The Flash and Supergirl.
Yeah, it's okay. So for those who don't know, the CBS Supergirl is actually produced by the same creative team as Arrow, The Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow over on the CW. And the whole thing has been, when they were asked earlier in the year whether or not there would ever be a crossover, the response the producers have said, "We don't even know if we're going to get a full season order, so we aren't thinking about that yet." And Greg Berlanti was asked immediately on Monday, like the same day that they got like the new order, like, "So you guys get a crossover?" Like, by a reporter almost immediately. And his response was that it's too early to know. We just got picked up. I don't think they're going to cross over this season.
Not this season. Wouldn't be this season. This is too soon.
They have been very careful to make sure that it's compatible with the Arrowverse by not using any of the same villains. So I think there's a shot. I think in spirit, the shows are very much connected, you know, because they're being written by the same people. I would like to see it happen. I'd like a unified TV. I'd like as big a unified TV universe as ever. I mean, we brought Constantine, the canceled Constantine series has been now brought into that continuity also.
Yeah, so, in more ways than one. Apparently it's going to be a big potentially next season too. In Legends
Matt Ryan was only available to do one episode of Arrow because he's currently doing a stage play. So that's why they only tried to get him for one episode, because just availability. But there is an ongoing rumor about the possibility of Constantine joining season two of Legends of Tomorrow if it gets a second season. That's the ongoing rumor. We don't know if it'll happen, but it's a possibility depending on availability. But we know that they have the they can get permission to use the character. So that's one of the big hurdles, especially with the development of the Justice League Dark movie. But since DC seems perfectly fine with multiple iterations of characters on different formats, I'm okay with it because, frankly, the TV universe is better than their film universe right now. So
loads better.
I'm hoping for Keanu Reeves in Justice League Dark. I'm just saying it. Let's just have two Constantines. I refuse to accept any other Constantines. I want the good Constantine and the bad Constantine, and that's it. No other Constantines.
And then they fuse.
Let's make Justice League Dark in continuity with the Keanu Reeves Constantine movie. I'm just doing it. Let's make that the first film in the DC movie universe. Let's just retroactively make that the first film in their shared movie universe.
Why not?
Do it.
So going back to Supergirl getting a full season, I think this is, like, I don't know, like, from what, I haven't seen every single episode of Supergirl yet, but what I've seen, I've really liked. They've done a phenomenal job with this character and with the writing and making it an excellent show. And I like that the way that they're treating their characters, I think, are very good. Because they could have gone in a really awful way with their characters, but they've done a really great job of keeping it down to earth and realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, I've enjoyed it so far. I've only gotten to watch the first three episodes. I haven't watched I've got them queued up to view later. But I've enjoyed it so far. Again, it's a solid show. I like the fact that the way they're dealing with Superman is that he's just been around forever. Especially the way they dealt with him in episode three. I'm optimistic. It is only up to 20 episodes and not 22, which is a little short for a network drama. Usually they get 22 episode seasons, but Supergirl's a more expensive show to produce, a lot of special effects, and it's just time consuming also to make episodes. So, I think it's still a very good thing that it got up to 20 for this first season. I'd consider that a full season, especially when you compare it to like comparable cable dramas. Science fiction dramas often only get 20 episode seasons as full seasons. So, yeah, no, yay,
woo,
you know, we are blowing through this episode.
We are. Well, we've got a lot to talk about in the next couple of points.
That's true. Yeah. Also, it was Thanksgiving week, folks, which means we're going a little bottom of the barrel in some of these cases. And one of those things is...
says bottom of the barrel like...
Like Tremors! You know, I haven't watched the fifth Tremors movie yet. It's on Netflix, though, so I should... the fifth
one. Oh, my God. I know what I'm doing tonight.
Tremors was, in fact, the first rated R movie I ever watched as a kid. it has a special place in my heart. But one of the co-stars of the film... Kevin Bacon.
Oh, the star of the film, really.
Well, no, he's one of the two guys. But Kevin Bacon hasn't appeared in the franchise since the first movie. It's, while like many members of the cast have reappeared multiple times. Michael Gross is like the one thread of continuity throughout the whole thing. Burt Gummer, played by Michael Gross, but Kevin Bacon's been like gone since the first movie. In fact, like one of the best parts of the second movie is watching a new character constantly have to explain that he's not Kevin Bacon's character throughout the entire second movie, where he keeps saying, "No, I'm not the original guy," is the line. But Kevin Bacon's just been gone since the first movie, so he wasn't in the second movie, not in the third movie, which introduced ass blasters, which are like the best part of any franchise. He wasn't in the TV series that took place after that. He didn't appear in the prequel movie, which took place in the Old West, which is the fourth one. And he wasn't in the fifth movie, which I have yet to see.
Tremors is ridiculous.
But Tremors already had one TV series with actually a lot of the original cast in it, including Michael Gross.
Except for Kevin Bacon.
Well, except for Kevin Bacon and a couple other people, but except for Kevin Bacon. But Kevin Bacon is apparently shopping around a new Tremors television series.
Yeah! Get it!
Why? So, okay, I love the Tremors TV series that was out, like, over a decade ago, but Kevin Bacon, how far you have fallen.
I would say he's fallen. Maybe he might just be bored and wants something to do. I mean,
the
like,
following
I don't...
got canceled.
Well, like, it might be one of those fun, silly projects that actors like to do from time to time. I mean, you look at people like, I mean, Sam Jackson has those. Like, he did Snakes on a Plane just because he liked the title of it. I mean,
Well, he's been avoiding the Tremors franchise for decades. I mean, they just did make Tremors 5, like, a year ago.
So he might just be looking for a nice little break to do something fun and silly and enjoyable for
so Kevin Bacon is shopping around a Kevin Bacon is attached to a Tremors TV series that's being shopped around to networks that is yet to find a home. All we know about it is that Bacon will star. Andrew Miller is writing it, and it's going to be set in Perfection, Nevada.
Andrew Miller, where have I heard that? Who? What else has he written? I need to look because I know that name, and I'm really if it is what I think it is, I'm going to be really excited.
I went to high school with a guy named that. There's a guy who plays for the New Orleans Saints. There's a player for the Yankees.
Oh, he was a writer on Scrubs, I think. No.
Stupid baseball getting in my way.
Yeah, right? He's a...
I should have known, like, off the top of my head.
Ah, whatever. There's so many Andrew Millers. That's how I know the name.
There are like 10 Andrew Millers. Oh my god! How many freaking Andrew Millers are there?
Yeah, never mind. He's not anything that I've. Anyways,
Andrew Miller Tremors. He wrote The Secret Circle.
Yeah, and he also wrote
Imaginary Bitches.
Pretty much it. Never mind. I must know him as the
baseball player,
baseball
or the football player,
as
the
baseball
journalist
player,
or the novelist, or the I've got the most common last name in any Germanic region.
Pretty much that.
But my only question is one: are they going to call up Michael Gross? Because appearing in Tremors is the one thing Michael Gross does. He did Family Ties and show up in things called Tremors. That's
oh,
Michael Gross's career.
He absolutely would. Are you kidding me? To be back in a Tremors series with Kevin Bacon.
Well, he
like,
just made like Tremors Bloodlines. Like,
doesn't matter. Ago. He'll be there.
No, I mean like that's why I think he'll be there. It's appearing in things called Tremors is what Michael Gross does. He's the most. I'm the only concern I have is that they might abandon the continuity.
Just do a full reboot.
Like, I'm afraid that, like, they'll skip the ass blasters and... Because, I mean, there's something in continuity called ass blasters.
It's true.
Because it's what happens when a bunch of rednecks name a monster.
True facts. So a Tremors TV series with Kevin Bacon is happening.
Yeah.
Might happen.
A new. The real question is, what are they going to call? Is it going to be called Tremors the series again?
It should be. That's what it should be called.
Yeah, just again at the end. Oh man, I love Tremors. Good Tremors man. Is such a. Oh god, it's just funny and dark at the same time. Like it's Tremors. How can you not love Tremors?
Well. There was a place where we didn't feel any tremors.
Oh!
Instead, we felt some cold, some cold and some snowfall over at Daishokan.
Yeah, woo! Daishokan.
That was just a week and a half ago at the Kalahari Hotel and Resort in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was.
That was a thing. We were there, most of us.
So yeah, I'll go away.
Two-thirds of us were there. And
bye, Trey.
Well, I think first, I mean, we can go. I think both of us had a pretty good weekend that weekend. It was a lot of fun. I know, again, you usually run an art table. You were not arting this weekend or that
it
weekend.
It was so weird. It just felt weird. I had nothing to do. I was just wandering around.
And of course, you were also involved with a bunch of the Otaku Tonight stuff that we usually do at cons, which was a lot of fun. I've had a lot of people tell us that it was enjoyable, standing room only again for Who's Line, which was nice. But it wouldn't be like generally. I mean, it was obviously a bigger convention this year. Daisho, I don't know what the final numbers were for Daisho Con this year, but I do know that on Friday. I had talked to a couple staff members who said they had 2,500 confirmed pre-regs, which explains why the pre-reg line was taking 2.5 hours to get through for some people at some points.
From what I heard, though, you could just walk up and reg at the door.
That's what I did. I walked up and I got in the register line. I was out of there in 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was insane. It took me 2 hours to get my pre-reg badge.
And that sounds like they need to get their lines in order, though. Like, because that's ridiculous.
They still they only had two stations for the registration line for the walk up reg, and there was still like what, four for the pre reg, and it still took them.
Well, I was discussing with a few other people, and they had all their pre regs in a database, and it would just take a long time for them to search through through the database to find specific people. And that's what took the longest. Yeah. They didn't waiting for it to find and search and load up and blah 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 blah. That's what really took the longest. Like I had my stuff out, I was ready to go, she was ready to go, and zip zap zoom, we just had to wait for the computer. And really what they need to do is find a faster way.
Well, there's this genius thing where you can create a list that alphabetizes people.
Right? And you could create a Word doc and then find them in the doc and then use that.
I would use a spreadsheet. I would use a shared Excel spreadsheet. If you have less than 10,000 people, a shared Excel spreadsheet on a local computer would go 10 times faster and use technology out of the box. But, you know, that's just I wouldn't do it for a big. Obviously, you know, actually, I'd say if you have less than 5,000 people, 5,000 is the number, but they had less than 5,000 pre-reg. And so I would have just done that because there's an out-of-the-box solution that would have gone 10 times, super fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
But honestly, other than that hiccup at the reg line for you again, I mean, I thought it was a pretty solid convention.
I was totally fine. I mean, first time I went to ASEN, that was a 4-hour wait. So, this was nothing for me. I'm a fairly patient person. Cool.
It was weird not going to DaishoCon this year for me, because this is my first year not attending. I was the musical guest at the first one. How weird is that?
Everything was generally really well set up. They moved things around this year, put things in different rooms. The video game room was pretty well designed. That was...
Yeah.
They had a little bit more room for the VGR, and I thought having the screen set up for all the tournaments like they did was excellent. They did a great job of that.
I really liked their they had a new concept for anime viewing.
The Anime Lab, yeah.
How did that turn out? Anime Lab?
That was really cool.
Comfy as all get out.
That was really nice.
I remember reading about that. I remember reading about all their plans for that, and my brain going, well, I mean, I guess it's the one part of the con no one ever uses anymore. So
there were people in there all weekend.
Well, that means they turned the anime theater back into a usable space.
Well, what they did was they had the entire Crunchyroll library. So if it was on Crunchyroll, they could stream it to one of the TVs, and I was really worried when I first heard of it that there'd be sound interference between the shows.
Yeah, that would be my thought.
All the people. No, it was fine.
Did they have any problems with 17-year-olds making out with each other?
Nope.
Not that I saw.
That would be my other concern.
There were people getting close to each other. Yeah, sure, but I personally never saw any hanky-panky happening in there, because
it was a
the lights
room.
Were all on, you could see everyone in there, and there were constantly staffers in there, so
yeah. I mean, that was a really the Anime Lab was a cool concept, cool setup, really cool execution. I applaud Daishokan on that. They did. They really brought back the viewing part of anime cons, which I think have been falling by the wayside in the past three,
well,
4 years.
Well, it's because it's a less required function. You know, 20 years ago, when someone went to a con, they'd sit in the viewing room because it was almost impossible to get new material. You know, we're talking about the eras of, like, fifth-generation fan subs being you'd pay $40 to some guy. Like, you'd put a check in an envelope and mail it to some guy whose address you found on the internet, and you're hoping he's still making copies and this isn't a dead web page. And, like, it was a whole other world, man. It's a better world now, but viewing rooms were a required thing back then. Now...
Yeah.
That everyone can watch Crunchyroll in their living room.
Well, it was really fun to, because you'd go in and there were like six TVs, each showing a different thing. And it was kind of fun to go in and kind of guess what people were watching. Because you'd see stuff that you'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. So you'd be like, oh, you could stand around and like, if something caught your eye, you could be like, you know, hey, what are they playing on that TV? Like, that looks really cool. Maybe I'll look that up later. Like, it was really nice. Like, cool. Just the variety and, like, the amount of variety that they could show over the entire weekend. Because you could go in, like, my friend and I went and requested Osumatsu-san. Because she wanted to show me a couple episodes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious and insane. And I'm going to watch this when I get home.
Well, it sounds like they've turned it into, it sounds like they found an interesting way to revitalize that section of a convention.
Absolutely.
It definitely became more of a social
thing. And that's what you have to do.
Instead of just, like, the dark theater where people fall asleep.
Yep. Tabletop game got moved to where the video game room used to be in that setup, and I thought that was a good move because it seemed like there were a lot more people in the tabletop game room over the weekend. So that was a great move. Scheduling was excellent. There was never any problems with panels going over. Cosplay contest, I guess, got off to a late start, but that'll happen. We do got to talk about one problem, though, and that was with the vendor room. I have never seen such a poorly designed path set up for that vendor room.
Oh my god, that was terrible.
Not only was the congestion so bad in that vendor room, they had vendor tables literally pushed up right against the entrance door.
Yeah.
To the point where if there were people looking at items at the vendor table, you could not get in or out.
That is bad
on either side of the door.
Trey, you would have
either side of the door. Son. One side you'd have one vendor, on the other side you'd have another vendor, and you'd have people gathered around the tables looking at the wares on that side, essentially blocking the door.
Well, and there were even because like the entire layout of the room was just like weird and stupid, and it's like a fat L, and that's like really hard to fit vendors in the first place. But then there were like these random like. There'd be, like, one vendor in the middle of a section.
Yeah, out in the middle of nowhere.
Like, the middle of nowhere. And, like, they didn't give enough room to walk on, like, either side. So you kind of had to walk right through their vendor space.
And that's what happened to me, I felt
was really weird.
That happened to me numerous times where I was walking and I stopped and I looked around and I'm like, I am surrounded by product. I am in a vendor booth right now. This is the way this walking is set up is I am in the middle of a vendor booth.
Because they had a vendor booth and a wall and, like, space for one person at a time to go through. They had, one-way pathways, and it was stupid.
That's terrible layout choicing.
Yeah, it really was. I only went in there once.
Yeah, I went in on Sunday because I wanted to get out of there as quick as I could the minute I stepped foot in that room because I couldn't go out the way that I came in because I couldn't get out back out that way because there were people constantly coming in and blocking the way out. So I had to find another way around. That was, my only complaint about any setup. At Daisho was how poorly the vendor room was set up, and I really hope somebody on Daisho staff is listening to this, or I hope that somebody has put that in the suggestion box or something for DaishoCon that you gotta fix that vendor room because you could not walk through that vendor room at all. You were
for the amount that vendor room was honestly like just like not enough space for the amount of people that were going through it.
Yep,
not enough walking space at all.
either limit the number of people going through at a time, or, I mean, I hate to suggest that you limit the number of vendors you're going to bring in if that's the kind of layout you're going
to
have.
But you have to. It's, I mean, that's the whole thing. You have to balance vendors for the space you have.
Yeah.
The
vendor room felt smaller than in years previous, and
it
felt like they just there wasn't enough space for it. It's smaller vendor space, same number of vendors, and you get that clog, which, I mean, not only is inconvenient and really hard to walk through, but could potentially pose a dangerous situation.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that vendor room, though, I didn't really have any other issues with Dice Show. I mean, I was a good con. Mm-hmm. It's always fun. There's always something to do. I mean, I hardly ever go to raves, but I went to the Dice Show rave, and that was actually a lot of fun, and they did a good setup, and it was a good time. Great all-around experience that weekend, and I hope I'm excited to go back next year. And
even if they wouldn't let you out of the rave.
Even if they wouldn't... That's the other really weird thing. Like, if you're going to have people standing at a door with the door wide open and like, paths to the panel rooms, like, I don't, like, that was weird. That was a weird, like, no, you can't go out, but I just came in this way. Yeah, but you can't go back out that way.
That's stupid. I have a lot of, like, nitpicky things. Like, there was a back hallway where Tabletop and the Ambassador Alley was. That was not... Like, the doors were not badged at all.
Yeah. I don't think I saw one badge.
No badgers back there. If you did not have a badge to the convention, you could, slip right in back there.
Yep.
To the vendor room, to, like, the dice tour, like, all sorts of things.
The badging I did notice was a little bit light.
Yeah.
Every year, I it's one of those side things where I think, like, well, could I have not have bought a badge for this event and still got in? There were times when I could have not had a badge on me and still gotten into several events because there just weren't either the badgers weren't looking or they weren't there.
I have tested events like that where I put my badge in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I would never ghost a convention. I always, you know, pay to go.
Yeah, but I have tested.
Yeah, I have tested conventions to see, like, how well people are doing their job by putting my badge in my pocket and going around as much of the convention I can until someone asks to see my badge. And I'm not going to mention any conventions. And I was not at DaishoCon this year, so this is not not an indication of DaishoCon. Sorry, I'm having a thing. But there are conventions I've walked around their entire con space, and I have documented massive holes in security at other cons before. And yeah, no.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there was last year we had a joke on Otaku Tonight where a rejected Christmas gift being an awesome con badge because there was a whole weekend thing. And I wore it the whole weekend with my Dice Show con badge behind it without realizing it. And I got into every single event with just the canceled badge. I had my badge on me, but I just completely forgot. Like, oh wait, no, I forgot to have there. I've got it. I've got my badge here. So that was the other thing too. Again, excellent point that some of the badging was a little scant. But all in all, it was a great weekend. The Otaku Tonight events were a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun at Who's Line. Stand up was a lot of fun. The talk show went really well, except for that really horrible crow attack that Lisa Luku suffered.
Yeah,
I hope she's doing really well. She couldn't make it to the show because she got attacked by crows. I mean, they just flew off the top of the Kalahari and attacked her, and I felt really bad for her that happened. So all my best to Lisa Luhu. I hope she recovers from that crow attack because that could be rough when that happens.
I just think that I don't know. I just personally have, like, a lot of tiny nitpicky things with Daisho, but I am understanding that, like, they did do a massive, like, rollover of staff recently. Like, it's a lot of new people. It's a lot of young people, from what I could tell. So, like, really, like, you know, they just need a bit more experience in what they're doing, and I mean, they did a good job for this year. They did a really good job.
I think we're seeing with a lot of. I think we're seeing with a lot of cons in Wisconsin right now, where there's some big staff turnovers.
Yeah. And so that can honestly really affect a convention's performance.
Yeah, so I mean it's a lot, you know, Wisconsin cons are often staffed by college students, and
yeah,
almost all of them, because I mean Wisconsin's kind of this magical little place that spent a decade building these independent small conventions instead of getting taken over by anybody huge. And so I mean now larger organizations like Wizard World are moving into the state, but it does mean that things have been running a little differently at a lot of events. So, but it means that there's a cyclical nature of the learning curve.
Yeah.
So just because a con's been around for, you know, how long has Dice Show Con been around? Since 2008?
I think something 2008 like was their first year. So this is their,
yeah,
I believe their seventh convention. Yep.
Yeah. It's even though it could, like, they've been going for a while there, you have to think of them again as like, you know, with the amount of experience that the people running it as like what, like ticking it back to like a second or third year con.
Yeah. And that's something you have to take into account when you do see, like, a lot of critiques that, you know, they could improve on.
And they're going to get better. I mean, if this year was any indication, Dice Show Con is only going to get bigger.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I mean, they definitely. From what I don't know the exact numbers, but I know they shattered their attendance this year.
Yeah.
Well, from any years past.
Their pre-reg was literally 2.5 times what Nerd and Tie Expo's maximum attendance cap is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's
just huge.
Like, it's impressive. Yeah. And
to give people some perspective, say, this is to go back to like, I don't know what No Brand Con's current pre-reg numbers look like, but back when I was con director for No Brand Con, when we had just under 1,300 attendees. So, I mean, this is, we had 1,300 attendees. That was 350 pre-reg.
Yep.
So, like, to have 2,500 people pre-reg for an event in the Wisconsin Dells, of all places, we're not talking like a major metro area. We're not talking about like Anime Milwaukee having 2,000 people pre-reg. We're talking about a con that is a destination con. I mean, which just probably means they probably have a higher pre-reg percentage to their attendance than a lot of other cons, but it says something about their growth that they did have like that massive pre-registration. Yeah. Y'all want to reach into the mailbag?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, sure. DaishoCon, great job last weekend to the staff of DaishoCon. It was a lot of fun. I had a blast. I know everybody that I went with had a blast. Look forward to coming back next year, next November. It's going to be a really great time. Look forward to performing there again. Mm-hmm. And yes, let's look in the mailbag. Who do we want to take first?
I think Gen's got a letter there from Archimize to read.
Yeah. It says, "Hey, nerds who require ties. Just want to start by saying I had a great time at DaishoCon last weekend. It was great seeing Nick, Fur, and all the other great folk who stopped by. Janet Varney, the voice of Korra, was really cool, and I also met a bunch of people getting into game design. Twas rad. Since we just passed the Thanksgiving holiday, a day notably marked by the giant Mystery Science Theater 3000 marathon, I was just wondering what movie you enjoyed watching this year, and what movies do you hope that the new Mystery Science Theater 3000 tackles in its first run? Also..." Or do we want to answer that first and then
we'll answer it first and then we'll go to his plug now, for his own.
Okay. Are we talking like what movies we enjoyed watching during the Turkey Day marathon or just this year in general?
I think that's what he's saying.
Because I'm a sucker for Iga and Iga.
Watch out for snakes.
I think that's one of the
my favorite all, like, managed to my catch. Favorite riff of that movie is always going to be "Sorry about my face."
Oh my God.
Again, sorry about the face.
I just love whenever they close up on him and they're like, ah!
I mean, to this day, I do yell at people, watch out for snakes.
Watch out for snakes.
And okay, I love that. That's one of the jokes that absolutely permeated throughout the run of that show, was that running gag. That and then Danger Death Rate, because I love, there's just so much the running gag of when they zoom in on somebody and this man will compete for... Oh okay.
Yeah.
So those were, I think, my two favorite of the five that they showed.
And then what movies do we hope the new Mystery Science Theater 3000 tackles in its first run?
Let me look at my shelf here. What do we got on it?
right? Like, oh, I don't have question. My creature features here.
Laserhawk. I want them to
Laserhawk. I love Laserhawk.
To riff Laserhawk. One, because I guarantee the rights to that movie are non-existent.
Gymkhana. Gymkhana. I want to see them do Gymkhana.
Oh, that would be so good.
That would be so amazing.
Vampires versus zombies, in which the vampires at no point ever fight the zombies. They make the zombies.
I could see them pulling something like the guy with the secret kung fu out, or Warning from Space, or something like that. Something that's public, like even necessarily public domain, that they really wouldn't have to pay a whole lot for. A couple episodes of those, but I honestly would love to see them tackle Laserhawk, because it fits along the line of those really cheesy movies that they would riff that have a fairly like large cast in terms of star power. But not just like, but is just so bad that nothing could save the movie. And I'd love to see them tackle Laserhawk.
Yeah, I'd say Laserhawk or the American guy, the version of the Guyver.
Oh, God. Yes.
Which also has Mark Hamill in a very similar role.
For 20 minutes and then he explodes.
Yeah, no, he shows up a third of the way in the movie and then dies 2/3 of the way into the movie. That's what Mark Hamill did in a lot of movies in like the 90s. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Those are my. That's what I. Again, do you have any Gymkhana? Anything other than Gymkhana?
Gymkhana. I'm trying to think. I don't think it'd be awesome if they do like the newer Gamera films, but I don't think they would do it just because they are newer.
Well, that I don't know what the rights costs would be to that.
Yeah,
I bet you it'd be probably pretty pricey to get those.
Yeah, I don't know. Just like. I can't recall off the top of my head, but like definitely Gymkhana. It's so ridiculous.
I'm in so much pain.
All right, what else? Back
to the letter. Also, I noticed there wasn't a new Gotham Globe Times report last week. I'm guessing the author is just putting together an epic 2-part post for the fall finale.
Keep
my eye out.
Is he?
He says he'll keep his eye out for it.
It's sitting in my inbox. I have to publish it.
He hopes we all had a wonderful Turkey Day of Giving.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
I gave lots of turkey.
I had three Thanksgivings. It was great.
I had one, but it was good. It was enjoyable and fun and relaxing.
Yeah, it's. I had Thanksgiving at my parents' house, but my mom is undergoing radiation for breast cancer, so she's fine. Nobody worry. But because that, she's very weak, and so really it was my wife doing most of the Thanksgiving prep and trying. Like, the whole effort turned into keep my mom from doing things.
Isn't that how it usually goes?
My mom will, like, push herself until she breaks because it has to get done, and so, like, running interference and keeping my mom from working.
Excellent. Yeah. Well,
I didn't actually have turkey.
And then watching the Bears beat the Packers.
I don't want to talk about that.
I just realized. I had three Thanksgivings and I didn't have turkey at any of them.
What did you have instead?
The first one was at Grandma's and Dad made ham.
Okay.
And that was delicious. The second was with my parents and Dad made a pork tenderloin roast, which was delicious. And the third one was at my sister's and she smoked a duck.
Yeah, right on. That's great.
For those watching the video wondering why I keep ducking out of frame, it's because I'm in massive amounts of pain.
Well, Trey, we'll try and speed us along for you then, all right, bud?
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. So hopefully that answers your... Is that all we had from Arkhamize, I believe?
Yes.
Awesome.
But you've got a letter from someone else who's a long time.
I do have a letter from a long time listener, long time writer. This one comes from Langland, and the subject is Daishokan. And he says, "What's up, nerds? Langland here again after a while. Anyways, I'm writing to talk about Daishokan. It was pretty good, and it was kind of cool to actually go to the con with some extra cash for once. It was awesome to see you, Fur, and also you, Izumi. Your Otaku Tonight performance was awesome. I love the musical guest and the snackrifice. I still laugh about a virgin cake getting snackrificed in front of all of us. I have one question, though, and I'm sure Trey has a lot of questions right now. Why did he have a snacker official altar? So for anybody that went to see us at DaishoCon and saw that performance by the Snackromancer, the performer of the Snackromancer, Tanner Hoffman, literally called me on Monday night and said, "Fur, I have an idea, but all I have is a name and a general idea." And I said, "Okay, what is it, buddy?" And he said, "The Snackromancer, and he's an evil wizard, but with snacks." And I said, "Good, you're on the show." So that was that. I had no idea what was going to happen, but it was perfect, and I loved it. And again, you know, despite the horrible crow attack that Lisa Luhu suffered and is recovering from, it was really great to have Vanessa Harix joined us again on the show, and then the Snackromancer as well, stopping by to launch his Reign of Darkness with snack foods. Anyways, Kitsune Con ran an awesome room party, and I was also pleased by one other thing. They did run an awesome room party. I went there. Kitsune Con always has great food in their room party, and they had like crock pots filled with meatballs, and it was great. I love there were a lot of One Piece cosplayers. For the longest time, I was the only Luffy cosplayer in Wisconsin. I might sound like a hipster here, but I was cosplaying Luffy long before a lot of these Luffy. I remember that as soon as I said it. Luffy before a lot of others did. However, I'm happy there are more now. And that's true. I noticed a lot more One Piece cosplayers lately.
That's coming back. Cool.
It's making a comeback. I am happy. I also love the compliments I got at the con for wearing my 8-bit Link t-shirt with my green Hawaiian shirt. I treated that weekend like a vacation, even though I already had the time off from work because it's the weekend and factories normally don't work weekends if they don't have to. One last thought. I liked playing the Mario pinball machine in the video game room, and I enjoyed beating the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games too. Overall, I had a fun time at Daisho, and a new buddy of mine that I met at this con are perhaps planning to anime Milwaukee. I never went to that one because I tried to avoid Milwaukee. Hopefully it'll be a blast. It should be. Hopefully we're going to be there. It's in March this year. People should go. It's always fun. I never went. With that said, I hope you guys had an awesome Thanksgiving. If you didn't, well, then I hope your Christmas, winter solstice, or whatever holiday you celebrate will be an awesome one. Peace out, nerds. Langland. Thank you, Langland.
Thanks.
I'm glad you were at my shows.
Yeah.
I'm glad Langland was at your shows, too. Because it means language that it shows.
Mm-hmm.
Langland. There's a second syllable to his name.
Yes. Trey, would you like me to read the next letter so that you don't have
I can read it.
Okay. You sure, buddy? Because I can do it for you. Are you sure? It'll be easy. I'll do it. I'll take it, Trey.
All right. Chris Austin writes to us. Subject, is there cosplay? Is there a NEA anime cosplay contest, or do we have to only wear ties? I'm assuming this is in reference to the Nerd and Tie Expo, September 23rd to 25th, 2016, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, at the Plaza Hotel and Suites. Pre-register now for only $30 at expo.nerdandtie.com. And I'm going to say, yes, there is a cosplay contest. It's one of the few things we have someone in charge of. No, we have lots of people in charge of lots of things, but we do have someone in charge of that. Specifically...
What are you doing?
Not moving my jaw that much. No, I'm sorry. It's the pain meds are kicking in. Anyways.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. No, so yes, I'm assuming he meant to write that to the expo contact form and not the show contact
form.
Well,
we answered it on the show.
We answered it on the show anyways, and I did it in a stupid voice because... I am not quite in my right mind and thankfully don't have to operate a motor vehicle till tomorrow. So, yeah, no, we're going to have a cosplay contest at the Nerd and Tie Expo. That's a given. It's going to be hosted by Fur and Nick. And
I'll have hair. I will have hair for
it. He will have hair, we promise. Unless I shave his head in the night.
I would put it past you.
Which did not happen this time.
No, Gen did it, actually. Gen shaved my head. Not while I was sleeping. I was awake.
No.
So, yes, that will, in fact, be a thing that happens with the pants and everything and the shirts and the skirts and the capes and the cloaks and the daggers and the
CGI, the green screens.
CGI bodies. Scrubs and... that's the secret of the show, scrubs. Is actually, no one was actually wearing scrubs. Those were all CGI.
Yeah, everybody had a green suit on. It was really cool.
Yeah. So I think it's time we move on to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
I agree.
Which it helps if I, you know, prepare for the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge before saying
that's also
it's time
true.
For the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. Okay, the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge, for those who are unaware, is that every episode I read a portion of a book. And the challenge to you, the listener, viewer, reader, for those who somehow read a weird transcript of the episode, is that you guess...
Well, maybe they type it up after listening to it. They don't...
I don't know.
You know, they might have somebody do it for them.
Is
anyway.
That the challenge is that you guess what the book is. If you guess the book correctly, the following things happen. One, we read your name aloud every episode as part of our Hall of Awesome. And two, you get listed on the website. That's it. Those are all the benefits, but it's a fun little game that we're playing. So please don't ask for more because we are poor. All right. The current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkhamite, Zero, Rena and Sandy, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings, Man, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Soros, Paper Godzilla, and Cavsey. And now we've been reading the same book, which I will in 2016 switch books. So eventually I will reveal what the heck I'm reading from.
And when you guys hear it, you're going to be like, oh my God, that was on the tip of my tongue. How did I not get that?
And so I'm going to find a good... All right. Here's a sentence from the book. It's the same. It's been the same book since this summer. So I will change books in 2016 if y'all don't guess this. Charles Lindbergh was born in 1902 and began work as a pilot in the government air service in 1925. If you know what book that is, go to nerdandtie.com/contact and tell us. Or if you have anything else you'd like
That's
to tell
easy.
Us. If you have anything else you'd like to tell us, well, why you think Nick wasn't here? Why Fur looks stupid with a shaved head?
Wow.
Why can't Trey get an ugly Christmas sweater? Just tell us all of these things and more by going to nerdandtie.com, clicking on the contact form, and just otherwise being a human being. For God's sake, be a human being. Or don't. It's your choice.
You are who you are. Well, with that, should I take us home? Should I get us out of here?
I think you should.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is another episode of Nerd and Tie. We thank you, as always, for joining all of us here this fortnight. We'll see you next fortnight for Nerd and Tie. I'm Firsters.
I'm Trey Dorn.
And I'm Gen Proc.
And I'm Nick Izumi.
Keep on spocking in the free world.
Ha, Bishki. And remember, you could subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. We got links on nerdandtie.com for both of those. And remember to rate and review us in those stores and, you know, just be an awesome person. And remember, the Nerd and Tie Expo, expo.nerdandtie.com, September 23rd to 25th, 2016, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Pre-reg is only $30. We're limiting to 1,000 attendees of the best show on earth that you'll find hosted by us. It'll be amazing.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Sound me of the
dance party.
Sell me alone. Telephone home.
God.
Canada Rome. Candies and bones.